If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Monday Night Football is in the books, and so is Week 9 of the NFL season. It's time to dive into what happened and take a look forward. Joe Pisapia and Craig Mish, Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Sports Today.
Toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Oh, pass is caught. Diggs. Sideline. Touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White.
And welcome in. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia with you here on the show as we get into everything going on in the world of fantasy sports. You can follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish. You can follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Pisapia 17. Our producer today, Sean Guastamacchia, Chris Pavona, doing a great job helping out as well. And Joey had a Monday Night Football game last night with some points, some excitement there. And, you know, dare I say, one of the more plentiful points games in fantasy last night, to be honest with you. I was expecting a dud of a game, and it was close there for a while. But in the end, Dallas looks like the only real blip on their radar this season where they were non-competitive, ironically, came against the Jets. But they certainly in the second half imposed their will on the Giants. And that's kind of the way that I saw it last night.
Yeah, I kind of saw it the same way. And I kind of have the mind that it actually wasn't, you know, that bad of a game. I think I was like you, kind of had low expectations. And I was pleasantly surprised. It was kind of competitive there. You know, they had that Dak Prescott turnover early on. And you thought, oh, my goodness, this could really be something. And I think had the Giants been able to get the ball in the end zone there, that would have really sent a big message. And as the game went on, it would have given them a little bit more confidence. They ended up kicking the field goal. And you kind of felt like there was a moment to really stick them there. And they didn't take advantage of it. And then they kind of went back and forth for a while. The Giants had some problems, again, converting in the red zone. That's kind of been trouble for them. It was great to see Daniel Jones running the football. You know, my whole life, Greg. And I'm sure most of yours, too. We're talking about Phil Sims. We're talking about Kerry Collins. We're talking about Eli Manning. You don't see a lot of giant quarterbacks typically running, no. Or especially on designed, you know, like kind of option runs. And it was kind of fun to see. And they really, they had their moments. They had opportunities. Giants defense made some plays. Then they got exposed a couple times. Ended up being Dak Prescott making a big play there when it mattered most. Michael Gallup, an incredible touchdown there for him. And I'll tell you what, though, regardless, for me, the highlight was that Saquon Barkley run where he caught that ball and just took off. To watch that man just run in space is unbelievably fun. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and you need that because a lot of people took him first overall, and with the 4 or 5 weeks that he missed, if you survive that, it probably was tough, but if you survive that, you need that now going down the stretch. And as you mentioned, 4 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. Amari Cooper has certainly produced well above his ADP this year. He has been fantastic in terms of the Giants. Ingram finally put together a nice PPR game, 6 catches, 48 yards. I crapped on you for about 5 weeks on Golden Tate. That has worked out. No question. He has been, listen, as long as Shepard is out, this is going to be correct for sure, because he has to play both roles at this point. He made a great catch too. In a PPR, he's fine. 6 catches, 42 yards. He's going to give you about 10 points. Everyone's going to be starting him in fantasy this week. And then Ezekiel Elliott, who is Mr. Consistent, never the first pick overall, never the second pick overall. Next year in fantasy, won't be the first pick or second pick overall too, but he certainly will be 3-4 right there. 139 yards in this game for sure. So
is there something to be said for that? You know what I mean? Like, he's just like steady Eddie, and maybe doesn't have the risk of Saquon or the workload of CMC risk.
Exactly. Listen, I'm participating in this fantasy baseball draft too, and I think you're in it also.
I am. I don't think we're in the same one though. I just made two picks.
But I'll give you a note
later.
A good fantasy baseball example for this is the pick that I took. I'll give you full transparency. It's a nice league to be in, and it is way before I would do any kind of competitive draft, but. Like, I was a Q drafter for my first round. I did not go and search for the first round, go beyond the obvious picks. And I think a good comp in baseball would be Nolan Arenado. Like, you know exactly what you're going to be getting with him. He's not going to be better. He's not going to be worse, but you know exactly what he's going to be. And that's kind of what Elliott
is. And a top-heavy position, too, where there's the haves and have-nots kind of at third.
Yeah, so that's kind of the comp that I give there. And, you know, we'll get into baseball a little bit later in on the show as far as fantasy goes. As far as reality goes, yesterday, the qualifying offer... Joe, as I know that you're starting to work on your baseball black book, and we'll be talking some more baseball toward the end of the year and into the new year, the winter meetings and all that. The big story, I think, not just the qualifying offer, but J.D. Martinez decided to opt back in with the Boston Red Sox, which pretty much will help you in writing what you're going to write about him, kind of solidifies himself. Although there still is some rumblings that Boston wants to get under that luxury tax, and by doing so could end up trading Mookie Betts. I personally can't believe it, Joe. I'll believe it when I see it. We went through an entire offseason of Noah Syndergaard being traded. Of course, he never was. I don't know, Joe. I just don't see that happening. Maybe I'll be wrong. I don't have any intel on this one, so this is just a simple guess for me. But provided that Betts is there with Bogarts and that other offense, J.D. Martinez, I think, makes the right call because he can go back out and opt out again if he wants after next year. So,
God, could you imagine if they trade Betts and then he opts out again?
he would leave, I would think, after next year if that was the case. You know,
well, they're in a tough spot, but luckily the Red Sox also had the emergence of Rafael Devers last year. Which,
that's true too. Devers had a monster season.
And I want to just point everybody to him for a second. And I was, and you know, like I said, what's nice about what I do is that it's in black and white. So when I'm right, I'm right. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and it's right there.
And you'll remind everybody about it.
And I love to remind everybody, and you love to remind everybody how much I love to remind everybody.
That is true.
That's why we work together. But I would say this: Devers was a guy that was. Everyone was so high on him 2 years ago because he came up and he had that incredible run, right? He was just unbelievable, hitting home runs, hitting .330. Everyone was like, oh my God, this guy's a stud. And he was. And then last year was the first big year in the big leagues and first full season. And there's a lot of a learning curve. And then this past year, all of a sudden, you know, when the guy hits .240 over his first, you know, 121 games in a full season, that's fine. You know, he had that 60 game sample the year before in 2017, and he was unbelievably good. It was only natural that a 22-year-old kid, you have to have more patience. The way he was dropped in other publications, Craig, was stunning to me in terms of ranking and what we do in terms of relative position value. He was right there. He was right there with the top of the crop, basically. He was right in that next tier of, you know, here's the very elite guys, the top guys. And he was right in the bottom of the top guys into the solid guys. And it's like, you can believe in this guy. He's still 22. Let's not give up. And the guy hit 32-115. Now, the problem is when you lose Mookie Betts, you lose that athleticism in the outfield. You lose a lot of identity to the team. So that's a tough sell, too, plus a very popular player there as well. So do you really think that Boston will end up moving on from Betts, or do they find another way to get it done?
I can't believe it. I mean...
What's the Pedroia contract situation? Do you know what that is? That overdone?
No. I don't know. That's
can they get out of that? Can that help give them some relief?
Out of it. No.
No, you know what I mean. Like, make a deal, like a, you know, not a Bobby Bonilla deal, but a deal like, hey, listen, you know.
That's not the way baseball works, I don't think.
For Bobby Bonilla.
but he got a contract extension with the Mets. That way they didn't try to get out of his contract. They gave him that was the extension that he signed. Pedroia is through. Yeah.
21. Yeah. I see
they're
now.
Screwed. They're screwed. But it's not a lot of money. That's not a lot in baseball terms. 13 and 12. It's not a lot, man.
No, but 13, when you're trying to make sure you lock.
Nah,
you know,
not a lot.
They're in more trouble, don't you think, because of the rotation than anything? I mean,
of course.
Sales health is way more troubling than the offense.
Big question. I don't know how anybody could take that guy in a draft right now. But what am I talking about? Draft right now. Anyway, thanks to Pitchers List for including both of us in this thing.
Yes, certainly very nice.
My pick is coming up in this
third I just
round.
Made mine, so there you go.
Who'd you
so
get in the, who'd you, yeah, well, let's save it for a little bit later
save
in the show.
It. Tease,
it's Tuesday, folks, so relied on content on a Tuesday.
Come on, tease.
Alabama LSU, Joe, if I'm going to ask you for the first time all season long, this is not an ask. This is an official Fantasy Sports Today request. I know that you have things to do on Saturday. I know that you have your kids on Saturday. Before we come into the show on Monday, I will need a almost full watch of Alabama LSU.
Oh, I have no kids Saturday, baby. Saturday is the one day without
kids. This is the Super Bowl of college football. This look, there'll be bigger games.
I will be watching this.
Okay, this is the big one. This is a big one. Alabama 6-point favorites over LSU. The total is 65 in the game. You're going to have about 15 players in the first three rounds in the NFL draft that are going to be taken. I mean, this is a big one. This is it. And also, by the way, Penn State Minnesota is also a huge game, too, because if Minnesota was to win this, it knocks Penn State out of that possibility. And this is the biggest home game for the Minnesota Golden Gophers at home, I think, ever. I think ever in their history of football, this is their biggest game ever, going into this undefeated with a chance to play for the Big Ten championship. So epic week on deck also for college football. We'll dive into that on Thursday with John Lobb. We'll do a full preview. Also, a little bit later in the show, Mike Alexander is going to join us. The Razz Bowl playoffs are getting ready to start. We're coming toward the end of that season. We got the opening drive coming up next. You're listening to Joe Pisapia and Craig Mish as college basketball season begins tonight as well. What a great time for sports. Here to cover it all on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't forget, you can also listen to us on demand by downloading our show on iTunes or Android. Stitcher also provides the podcast, and as always, download the FNTSY app. We post this show each hour, 1 hour, 2 hours. You can download it. And by the way, please subscribe and like our show as well. Give us 5 stars if you wouldn't mind. Joe and Craig will be back right after this with the opening time.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Kerry Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Donald, I may have indulged a bit too much in the month of December. My energy's been lagging. My belt is definitely on its last notch from all of the eating.
Well, the holidays can do that to you, buddy. It makes you reach for quick fixes that have rough and lasting effects on your gut. Good thing we have GT Synergy Raw Kombucha to get your gut back on track.
That's right. It's those billions of probiotics that whip the gut back into balance. And those are naturally occurring probiotics, not the added fake kind.
Yeah. Well, GTs are naturally occurring because it's raw and fully fermented for 30 days.
No kidding. Just talking about it makes me want to grab a trilogy flavor right now.
When you drink a kombucha, it means you love your guts. Because a healthy gut can help with less bloating, digestion support, boosted immunity, better mood, improved skin, and just your overall health. I've been drinking GT's Gingerberry since the new year to introduce more good bacteria to my system. GT himself told me that kombucha is its most potent and beneficial on an empty stomach.
Man, do I love GTs. I usually drink it in the afternoon to give me a little pick-me-up and treat myself.
Drink GT Synergy to show your gut that you love them. Better health is as simple as making a few small changes, and incorporating GTs is an easy one.
You can learn more about GTs at gtslivingfoods.com/loveyourguts and pick up a bottle at your local grocery store in the refrigerated section.
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. Fantasy Sports Today presents
first play from scrimmage.
The opening drive.
The first play of the game.
Cut the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
And this is the opening drive on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia with you here on the show. Coming off a relatively fun Monday night and a relatively fun Sunday night. We actually got a good, exciting Thursday night game, an exciting Sunday night game, and a Monday night game. So my crapping all over the night games narrative finally for a few days goes out the window. And so let's kind of talk about what's happening tonight. And if you think that it's overwhelming to have the NFL and college football and the NBA and the NHL, let me throw one more sport at you, Joe. College basketball starts tonight. I know that you're not supremely into this thing. It is hard for me to get into it until football ends, too, but I certainly will pay attention. Kansas and Duke. I mean, this is basically the number one and number two team in the country, or the number two and number three team in the country, or whatever you want to. I mean, and no line on the game. It's a pick'em game. If you're going to start off the season with a boom, this is the way you do it tonight with Mike Krzyzewski and company and Duke taking on Bill Self in Kansas. There's like 50 games tonight. I don't even know how you get lines on some of these teams. I've never even heard of them. And if you're trying to bet on college basketball tonight, make no mistake about it, a lot of these games are called circled games, which means even Las Vegas doesn't know enough about the teams to let you bet maximum bets on these sort of things. Like, they'll minimize your bets on some of these games tonight because they don't want to screw up either. But another sport to get into tonight, Joe. So I'm all in. Can't wait for college basketball season. But truthfully for me also, I'll catch a game here and there and try to identify some value teams. But it starts really after the end of the football season.
Well, one of my favorite things is listening to all the people who all of a sudden become experts in college basketball right at the 1st of March. And everybody knows everything about everything. And right. I did an experiment a couple years ago with my kids. They were you know, very young. I think they were 5 and 7 at the time, where I let them go through and pick the brackets just for, you know, S's and G's to see how well they did. And they did a lot better than a lot of other people. You know, I have no idea. They're just like, that Gonzaga sounds like a funny name, Daddy. And then you just gotta color that one in, and that's the one they take. So I'm going to try to keep with the commitment to the bit, which is I'm going to do my best not to watch a single moment of any of it.
There you
and,
go.
And wait. I'm not done. And I'm going to do a bracket with you because I'm a good sport. And I want to see how I fare against everybody who did watch or did, you know, try to analyze or listen or whatever it is.
Yeah. Now, to give you an idea of more of what I have done in the past, and this will be a little bit of a longer story, which you'll appreciate. But since we have time,
I always like your stories.
Okay. So 3 years ago, over on Satellite Radio, RotoWire decided to put together a fantasy basketball March Madness draft with 10 hosts on the channel and people in the industry.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
So now that shows a little bit more skill. Obviously, you have to pick some players.
Oh, sure. Right. And you have to, when I have a question, so like, how's that go as they get eliminated and stuff?
You're done. You lose the guy. That's it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you got to pick
the ESPN playoff bracket thing that they do.
You got to have guys on the good teams, mm-hmm. But you also have to know which teams are good. So in back-to-back years, it was incredible. Year one and year two of doing this, and it was fun because some of it was at Tout Wars, so we were watching it and going back and forth. By a miracle, Jeff Erickson won year one and year two, and I finished in second year one and year two. And it both went down to the last game of the season, both seasons. Okay, so last year was year three of this, and let me tell you what happened. So year two, somebody didn't pay the $20, like if you can imagine. It was like such, and we were like so pissed about it, whatever. This was even worse, what happened 2 years ago, okay? I quit on the league this year. You want to say, well, Craig, why would you quit? I mean, you've been in this from the beginning. I'll tell you why. So year three, we invited somebody in the fantasy industry, which I won't throw him under the bus. But let's just say that he was a prominent member of the fantasy industry. And he decided that he wanted to join. So we had our draft, Joe, the Monday before the NCAA tournament started, okay? The Monday before. Mm-hmm. The next day after the draft, the player they announced had an MRI, the player that he drafted, and was going to miss the entire tournament. Okay? So he basically said, I'm going to be picking a new player from the pool. And I was like, what? Like, that's not happening. Like, you lose your player. That's the end of the story. And literally, Joe, everybody was such wusses involved in this league that they were like, oh, maybe that's fair. I'm like, what do you mean maybe that's fair? He doesn't get to just pick a new player and anybody that he wants.
What draft does that happen in?
Never. None.
In any fantasy league. You lose your player.
And I said, I'm not against this. And the person said, well, if I can't pick a new player, then I'm out. I'm like, wow. Like, this is the biggest phony that I've ever seen. So I said, you know what? If this is the way that you want to play, and we are going back and forth. I'm like, I don't fight like this. If this is the way that you want to play it, that's cool. Go ahead and take the backup on that guy's team and put him in. Fine. You know, that's the compromise that I'll make, even though you shouldn't get anybody. What was his response? No, I get to pick anybody that I want. I'm like, all right, no problem. And then last year came, I didn't do the league. I'm like, I'm out. I'm like, I'm just like, if you guys have no stones whatsoever to be able to do that.
Come on, look at you. No stones. You know what I love about you, Craig Mish? You're deep down. You're like a Brooklyn tough guy. And I love that about you.
I'm from Brooklyn.
I know. So am I. And that's what I love about it. Like, every now and then, you get those moments where you
say
things
principles.
Like that.
Come on.
You got a lot of principles. No, you have a lot more principles than people realize, I think. Maybe too many, some might say.
I mean, it was a joke. I just couldn't believe that nobody would say, hey like, this isn't right. Like, I'm sorry,
listen,
you lose.
Hey, Roto Wyatt, you don't got the stones? I'm out of the league. Eh?
Yeah, and I love all the guys that were in it. And all the guys that were in it, I'm good friends with all of them. But I basically had to say, hey, look, if you allow this to happen, you know, I didn't say it at the time, but I to myself, like, hey, if they allow this to happen, I'm not going to. And last year they asked me, I'm like, no, I'm out. Like, I mean, what, we just make the rules along as we go. Guy drafts injured player, gets to replace him before it starts. Where did that say that in the rules? I don't know. Oh, well, you know, it is kind of fair. And then I came up with the compromise to even allow him to get out of that. And it still was not good enough and threatening. And by the way, I never threatened anything. Threatened to drop out. I'm like, wow.
I can't wait till after this show's over and I get my three guesses on who this person is.
It's not that tough. All right. Second down, qualifying offer to 10 guys issued in baseball yesterday. Gerrit Cole, Anthony Rendon, Marcelo Zuna, other guys, too. I don't know. Was that the bigger story for second down here, Joe? Was the bigger story that Didi wasn't given a qualifying offer? What do you think?
I understand why the Yankees didn't give him the qualifying offer. They're so deep in where they're at right now. I guess there was real concern because of how much time he missed last year of him just taking that and trying to rebuild his value and really go out there again. I think the qualifying offer, wouldn't you say, is like this game of chicken, right? Where you're like, well, this guy's never going to take it, so let's give it to him and then get the pick, right? But I feel like
in
with
some
Didi,
cases.
Yeah, in some cases. But with Didi, I feel like that was a much higher level of potential. If I was Didi, I would just go back there and rebuild. He's been terrific ever since he went there. And his value is an all-time low as a free agent. So
yeah, he would have to
make
it.
Sense.
Yeah.
And if you're the Yankees, you're always trying to say, okay, where are we going to be with the luxury tax? How many of these young kids that are coming through? Do we have to get extensions?
Oh, they're loaded, man.
They're loaded. And Torres is so good.
Torres, right. And Urshela played great. And Andujar.
Well, that's what I mean. It's between LeMahieu, Urshela.
Too much.
You also got Andujar coming back. Let's not forget about him.
That's what I just said. Yeah, too much.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't hear you say that. But yeah, it's too much, and I think that's why.
Okay. I get an I told you here for me.
Yes, you do.
On third down.
Yes, you do.
I tried to explain this to you, Joe. This is a bad dude, Mark Walton. You know, like just...
Bad man.
You don't want to have anything to do with this guy. He's already been arrested, I told you, a bunch of times here. So the least shocking thing is that he was suspended 4 games. Can we just eliminate him from any discussion the rest of the season, right?
Yes.
No reason to talk about him? Is there
no reason to talk about him? He's dead to us.
The only player that I would recommend, Joe, adding in this situation is a player that I watched a lot of college. I don't think he can carry the ball third down, but Miles Gaskin was unbelievable.
Oh, sure.
I hope he gets an opportunity.
A lot of people like Gaskin coming into the year to steal that job. A lot of people thought
I don't know that the coaches love him. So, you know,
do they have a choice? Craig, do they have a choice? It's not how much they
There's
love
another
him,
name
how much
too.
They hate Balazs.
There's a third name also. I don't never heard of him, but they have a third name of a guy there too. I probably should have done my homework there. Fourth down, the Nats celebrate with President Trump yesterday. And look, I don't get it.
People, you put this on here, Mr.
Yeah,
because
I don't do the whole politics thing, but I just wanted to just bring it up because it did create for a lot of meme and Twitter content of just showing, you know, one tweet showed Strasburg not shaking his hand. And if you wait 10 more seconds, you do see that he shakes his hand. And if Suzuki wearing the hat and all this stuff, I don't do the whole politics thing, Joe, but I did want to bring it up because for those people who are interested in content, you can obviously go check it out on YouTube.
Yeah, I'll say this about the whole thing. I think everybody has their right not to go wherever they feel, and as they don't feel like they're being represented, that's your right. That's what America's about, is freedom of speech. And that's the whole point. That's why people live and die and fight for this country, so I'm okay with it. And I'm okay with also the people who want to go there and support. That's their right, and it's my right
to
be
you want
to
do, sure.
upset about that. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they make way too much of a big deal about the White House honoring a team. And in sports in general, like, I was like, who cares? Like, I always felt like, who cares? But then it came to that.
Yeah, it's overblown. It's overrated. And look, everybody has a personal decision.
This was a DC team. This made a lot more sense than
Zamora. Of course you did.
You know, they kind of had to go. You know
and look,
I mean?
If something needs to be said, I'll say it. But in general, my thought process is when people want to listen to me, they want to hear about sports. And that's, you know, what I deliver. And I also prefer not to alienate half the country. You know, that's just my thing. I just would prefer everybody to want to listen as opposed to losing listeners because I have to spew about something in a certain way. Just always been my opinion. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. What is next for the New York Jets? Keyshawn Johnson is popping off. This should be no surprise. Joe and I will try and see if we could decipher who the next man in for the Jets will be. Don't go away.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the 8th person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening up a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sports book. Go to FanDuel.com/grid, where you'll receive a free bet of up to $500. That's a free bet of up to $500 when you open up a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, in-game wagering on college and pro sports, and you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com/grid, open up your new account, claim your free wager of up to $500 today. You must be in New Jersey to bet on FanDuel, although you could be anywhere in the country and look at the site, which I am doing right now. So we're going to touch on that real quick. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. You got to be 21 years or older, and eligibility restrictions apply. Even if you don't live in New Jersey, you could take your car from New York to New Jersey, get over to the line of where New York, New Jersey meet, make your bet, and then drive back to New York, which is what a lot of people crazily do to bet on this app. Believe it or not, there's video of that, of people making their bets on the FanDuel app and then driving back to New York. I can't believe that. Okay, so on the FanDuel app today, we do have the updated MVP voting, the awards. Okay, I do not see the Rookie of the Year up today, so we're going to have to wait till tomorrow for that, potentially. So here is the updated votes. Without looking, Joe, who would you say is the favorite to win the NFL MVP on the FanDuel Sportsbook today?
Russell Wilson.
Okay, and who would be next? You are correct. Who would be next?
Okay, that's good. Correct. Next would be
you're sort
Lamar,
of correct, by the way.
Is it tied? Whoa, Lamar Jackson?
They're tied.
What?
Lamar Jackson?
What?
He went from 5-1 to 3-1. We're stupid. We should have bet it last week. We could have had him at 5-1. Lamar Jackson.
I told you, CMC is the one to bet right now with those 49er games.
Okay, so I'll give you the odds here. So we'll stop with McCaffrey because how is Dak Prescott still on this list? He's not winning MVP. Lamar Jackson 3-1. Russell Wilson 3-1, Aaron Rodgers 5-1, Watson moves up to 5-1. Mahomes has been where he's been. He's lower than what he was for the first half of the season, of course, at 11-1, and then McCaffrey is 14-1. I think we would agree. Prescott at 15-1, Garoppolo 25, Brady 26, Cook 29. We can stop. None of those guys are winning the MVP. And the first defensive player, by the way, on here is Aaron Donald. He's not winning the MVP either. So Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson tied right now. The Rookie of the Year, I guess I'll post that a little bit later. That's going to change significantly.
It's amazing. Do you think it's an overreaction when you have a game like that where Lamar's great?
No, that's exactly what I was looking for. That's it. Yes. Because that was his signature game. Yeah.
It's a signature game, but like a couple weeks ago, he lost to the Browns and everyone's like, oh my God.
You know what the little slip up you said was? Couple of weeks ago. It's been a few weeks now since then.
Fair.
And that's the deal. If this happened, this is a what have you done for me lately show. This is a what have you done for me lately world. And in this world we live in, Joe, if Lamar Jackson this week throws five picks, he's going to go from 3-1 to 10-1. I mean, that's what betting is. It's the stock market. And you're basically buying high right now on Lamar Jackson when you could have bought low a week or two ago. Wilson hasn't really moved anywhere, but Rodgers is the one that's moved back. If Rodgers, Joe, has a great game, he's going to move back up and he's going to be 3-1. But that's kind of the way that this is working right now. And Watson, by the way, maybe we should be talking about a little bit more. 5-1 tells you he's got a real shot.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I still think, as I said, I'm going to stick with this. The whole Cam Newton not playing, Kyle Allen playing. Carolina rips off some W's here, and I've looked at their schedule. I think they can. CMC is going to be in this conversation because if Russell Wilson does not play well in either of those 49er games, I think it really hurts his bid there. I really do, because I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo all of a sudden is going to emerge from that 49ers group as like an MVP candidate. I think everybody realizes it's the defense over there, and he's played better, but it's still the defense. And Jackson's got two more tough games on that schedule too ahead of him, possibly three if the Rams actually show up and play. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. It's funny because I'm trying to remember, you know, historically speaking, most of the time with the NFL MVP, you kind of have a pretty good gauge. You know, it's like the Peyton Manning year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the Brady year. It's the Mahomes year. It's the Rodgers year. This year is so wide open that I think it's worth taking a shot at McCaffrey. I really do.
Do you know how many touchdown passes Russell Wilson has thrown for this year?
22.
You know how many interceptions?
One.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah, I looked at that yesterday. Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Watson is at 19-5 or something like that. So in terms of touchdowns, he's only three behind him. I think Watson's...
But that interception number is incredible, man.
It is. And you know what?
Is Russell Wilson going to throw 40-2? Holy cow.
Well, I mean, Brady had a ratio like that a couple years ago. Did Rodgers he win the MVP? Last year. No, because he had missed the four games. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
Brady came in. I think he had 20. I think he was at 25 and one at one point, something crazy like that. Something insane. And last year, Rodgers had a number that was kind of insane. I don't remember exactly what it was, but the ratio was another unbelievable ratio. I have to go look it up, but, it's just funny to me that we're in this place with, and I'm sure a lot of it has to do with injuries too. But the NFL MVP is usually one of these things that you have a pretty clear idea. And I think at this point, it's more wide open than the odds would tell you.
Yeah, I think that the six names that we mentioned are possibilities. I don't think Mahomes can win. I know that he's here, but I don't think he can, missing the games that he did. So it would be Jackson, Wilson, Rodgers, Watson, McCaffrey. I think those would be the final five for me at this point. I mean, they have Mahomes.
Aaron Rodgers. Last year, Aaron Rodgers had, here it is, passing touchdowns. Where are you, passing touchdowns? Although I hate the way this thing is all laid out here. It is 25-2. That's where he was last year.
That's good. He missed a lot of games, though. He had no shot at the MVP.
No, I'm saying exactly. You know, that's. But I'm just saying in terms of like where somebody's been at with that kind of a ratio, where it's 20.
Oh yeah, no, that's good. But he missed six games, right?
I know that was it. He did. He missed a couple games, and then a couple years ago, Tom Brady was. He ended up being less than 28-2, and that was the year he missed four games because of the suspension.
You're not winning the MVP missing games. I mean, that's just.
You're not. But the fun fact about Brady is, in the years he's won MVP, they've never won a Super Bowl. Which is ironic.
I know you like bringing that up. So you're hoping that he doesn't win a Super Bowl.
I'm loving that he's nowhere near it this year.
Yeah, he's got almost no chance. Yeah, I mean it's not even the odds. It's just
it's not a great offense.
No,
it's not. Now that's not to say that they won't click and get right at the right time because they have a habit of doing that.
They start running the ball in December, man. They start.
And it gets cold in December, and they've got a bye week in the playoffs probably coming up, and they've got two games to go into New England and beat them right now because the way the Chiefs, unfortunately, did not handle their business early, and then had the Mahomes injury. So.
Yeah, and Baltimore. Let's not rule them out either, though.
Oh, I don't at all. But it's gonna be tough for Baltimore to have host a home championship game.
I mean, if New England loses once more and Baltimore ties them in the end, Baltimore has the game.
Yeah, but if you look at the two schedules, I don't think let's not forget who the Patriots play the rest of the way.
Do we really know, man? Do we really know for sure? Come on, you don't know. Nobody.
Ravens have some dudes they got to play.
Did you think the Ravens would go to New England and smash them in the face? No. Okay, so you just don't know. So
I think the Ravens would go to New England? No, but I did think that New England would get smashed in Baltimore. I didn't think it was crazy. No, not at all.
Right, but I mean, let's just see it play out.
Texans, Rams, 49ers, Bills, they still have to play in a row. Those are some good teams, just saying.
Okay. Okay, so let's get to this latest story. Keyshawn Johnson goes off and says that Adam Gase shouldn't be coach of the New York Jets, which is not shocking. And this comes a day after Stephen A. Smith went after Adam Gase. He's an easy target right now, Adam Gase, Joe.
Well, he's made himself an easy target. Can we agree on that?
Of course.
I mean, it's horrendous. They don't look prepared. They don't look ready. You know, when a team comes out there, usually they have a plan. They look ready and stuff like that. They don't. They look just lost, absolutely lost, man.
Yeah, that's the easy way to put it. Keyshawn Johnson says that they should have come to him and asked him about a potential coach, kind of like how other players in the past have weighed in on this. And so at this point, I think it's safe to say that he has what percentage chance would you say that he has to return as a Jets coach next year?
Not to be hot take radio, but I would say under 20%.
Yeah, I was going to say 5%.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say 0, but then I know you hate that kind of stuff. So
they could win every game the rest of the year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they could go on a run here and maybe
it's unrealistic. Say
20%. It's unrealistic the way that they're playing, but he ain't coming back. He's one and done. And, if I'm the GM who got fired, I'm sitting there going, really? really? This is what happened? Now I'm on the out? Unbelievable. How do you hire a head coach and then have the head coach oust you as the GM? How does that work?
It's very weird. Yeah.
Have you ever seen something like that in all your years of sports? I never heard of anything like that.
I've heard of the coach having more power than the GM, but it would seem to me you would make that decision.
Than the coach he just hired before he coached a game for that team? I agree with what you're saying. There's a lot of coaches that had more power.
Things happen in sports. You know what's been going on with the Pirates? The Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates brought in 7 guys to interview for the manager job. They all interviewed with the GM, Neil Huntington, and then they woke up and fired Huntington after interviewing all of these candidates. What was the point? I mean,
weird. This is
nothing weirder, but I'm just saying.
Hey, GM, hire this guy. Go do the draft, and then you fire the GM after the draft and after he hires the coach because the coach doesn't like how he spent money in the offseason. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
So how about a new coach for the Jets? Any clue?
McDaniels isn't going to go there. He's not going to leave for the Jets. There's no way. It's just that's never going to happen. The thing is, you want to bring in an offensive-minded coach, so I don't think you want to bring in necessarily like the D coordinator from the 49ers. He's going to be a very popular candidate.
Right. But do you think that the Jets are in this position now that they go Dolphins in 2020 where they say, hey, look,
no,
you think they try to compete next year?
I do. They spent money on Le'Veon Bell. They have what they think is the quarterback. I think what you want to do is you want to bring somebody in who can get it together. Now, look, I know I'll take heat for this. I don't care. I'll throw it out there. What do you think of Mike McCarthy getting this job there?
Possibility. Yeah.
Mike McCarthy has a really good history.
Mike McCarthy in the talk saying, hey, look, I don't know if he's the best coach or if he's the worst coach or whatever, but he would have done a better job than this guy. That's basically what he was saying.
I just think Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers just got sick of each other. You know, and at the end of the day, that's what all that was about. And they were losing and everybody wanted to point fingers and the superstar beat out the coach. And that's something that happens. Robert Saleh of the 49ers comes to mind.
Somebody on the 49ers getting a head coaching.
No, I mean, he's just going to be very.
No, you're right. Somebody's got to get a head coaching job out of what they did this year.
This is what happens in the NFL. It's like, who are the hot young teams? Who's the guy coming out? It's just like how Matt Nagy got the job a couple years ago with the Bears. Oh, the Chiefs had a really good offense. Let's pluck that coordinator.
That's Brian Flores with the Dolphins from the Patriots.
Yeah, yeah. He was also a cheap guy, too. He first time coach. They didn't have to spend a lot of money on him as the tank continued. Another, you know, from the Cowboys, too, their coordinator is very popular. Chris Richard, Shane Waldron from the Rams.
Yeah, you know what? Chris Richard, I don't think interviewed so good to a couple places.
What about Shane Waldron, too, from the Rams? You know, that McVay tree will begin.
I would love to see this coach of the Bengals do something before I start hiring more geniuses from the Rams, man. I mean,
that's fair. It's fair. That's an excellent point. I have no counter argument to that point, except you and I just both know the NFL just likes to keep going on that. Who's successful? That guy. Let's go pluck the apple from the tree and see if it tastes sweet. And usually it's got a worm in it.
The guy that I would hire. And I would take a shot here. I would hire, and I know that, look, I'm hitting you with something here that you're not all that familiar with, but it's okay. I would hire this guy, Matt Rhule, the head coach of Baylor. That's who I would hire. He has gone. He completely transformed Temple. He has made Baylor was in.
I know who that is. I know who you're talking about. Like when you said Temple, I know who you're talking about. Yep.
He was in the worst situation. If you remember a few years ago, the head coach of Baylor, Art Briles, was accused of hiding all of these like rapes and all these crazy things. They just got rid of him completely. The team was like facing all kinds of sanctions. All their kids left. They won like 2 games under this guy Rhule, who came in from Baylor. They were questioning why he took the job, and Baylor, he's the coach of the year in college football this year. I mean, it's not even close. They have a chance to play in a New Year's Day bowl game, and Baylor hasn't been good since RG3 basically. So that he's going to get it if he wants, he's going to get to coach in the NFL. I think this would be a good spot. But Joe, this would be a spot where I don't know. I mean, the expectation to win would have to be a little bit lower if you're hiring a college coach right out of the get go.
And now I don't think Jim Harbaugh is your guy either. You know, like if he decides to leave Michigan, I don't know if that's the route you want to go. I don't think you want him in New York. I don't think that's a good combination. I think you're going to go one of 2 ways. You're either going to go exactly what you're saying, guy like that out of college, fresh, change the whole perspective, maybe get a different energy in the room, and that would be probably the smart thing. Or you go the other end of the spectrum, bring in the guy who's been there, the guy who has a lot of experience grooming young quarterbacks, and that's Mike McCarthy. And I think, yeah, it might not be thrilling, but at the same time, I think he would do a much better job in terms of having that team prepared to play.
I think McCarthy's going to be a coach next year, too.
I don't think Jay Gruden would fit there either. That's why I haven't mentioned him. I don't think he's a fit in New York.
New York will have a new coach. Washington will have a new coach. Atlanta will have a new
coach. Cleveland will have a new coach.
You're right. Cleveland will have a new coach, too. So that's
going to be Jay Gruden, I think.
And we know that there's going to be more than 4. I mean, that's like, those are the 4 we know. You know that by the end of the year, there's going to be 5. So this could be the most ever that we've seen in the offseason linked to the Bears. The Bears, you can even think it's awesome.
I don't think they're going to get rid of him. I just don't. I don't think they're there yet. But the Bears are the most disappointment. They're the biggest disappointment for me this year heading into the year. I had high expectations for them. They have been the biggest disappointment by far.
All right, we'll take a quick time out. We will never disappoint with our Florida Man segment. It's coming up next on Fantasy Sports Today.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. And now it's time on Fantasy Sports Today to see what's going on in the Sunshine State with Florida Man.
All right, it's that time, Joe. Welcome back. It's Fantasy Sports Today. It's a Tuesday, so that means it's time to dive into the great state of Florida. I amaze Joe every week with these stories. He doesn't think that they're real, but they are. The things that happen in Florida are really incredible, and let's kind of dive into them today, Joe. We'll start off with the first story here. A man in Florida can face up to a year in federal prison and a $50,000 fine after witnesses say they saw him kill an endangered small-tooth sawfish by removing the long, flat saw that gives the fish its name. And prosecutors say he was seen on a boat off Ponte Vedra, which is around Jacksonville last year, using a power saw to remove the fish's rostrum, which is also called a long, narrow tooth extension that resembles a saw. They use it to attack prey. Without it, of course, they cannot survive. And so, Joe, obviously, I'm going to guess that this guy did not know that they were endangered, but the small-tooth sawfish has been protected under the Endangered Species Act since 2003, and sometimes they catch them accidentally, and then they have to let them go, and there are guidelines for that. So I would ask you, Joe, what kind of punishment does this guy deserve? Should he have known that you can't do this to the sawfish? I would say that he shouldn't have caught it and sawed off the saw. I mean, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, sawed off the saw. That's not a phrase you're going to hear everywhere, especially on this channel the rest of the day. This is awful. I don't understand the whole, look, I'm a stupid city boy. I don't get the whole let's go out hunting. And if I did, I understand like the archery or like the single shotgun. I don't say the people go out there with a, you know, or going out there with like an AR-15 and just like ramping through everything. Like it's a sport for the animal. But I get like, you know, archery hunting, bow hunting. I get all that. I get the fishing. I understand it. It's not my thing, but I get it. This I don't get at all. This is just bizarre. And are we supposed to believe that this guy has the $50K lying around to pay this fine? I'm always curious how that stuff works in terms of when you find somebody that probably doesn't have 50 grand just sitting around in a bank account. But more to the point, this makes me upset because I like those underwater documentaries. I am one of these people that will watch Blue Planet. I don't watch Shark Week necessarily, but I find the underwater, especially the deep ocean stuff, really interesting. You know, like those neon jellyfish and those weird things like that that are around there. Stuff that you couldn't possibly imagine exists on this planet and exists in the ocean. I love that stuff. I find it very soothing and relaxing, and it's good because it takes me down a notch because typically I'm a little excitable anyway. So this is horrible. This is upsetting. I would put this guy in jail. How long would you put him in jail for this?
Oh, man.
3 months?
That sounds right. I was going to say months, not a year.
I don't think a year because
I'm going to say 30 days.
What was he going to do with the saw? Was he like, hey, I need me a new saw?
I don't know. Fish got a saw. If he was hunting for something else and took pictures of chopping off a hoof or something like that, people would freak out too. So I'm going to put.
Here's a question. What did he do? Like, did he. Did someone video? How did someone see him do this? Like, he's out on a boat somewhere or
people saw him do it. Yeah, I guess so.
God, it's horrible. What a horrible thing. Who goes out to fishing on a boat and goes, hey, wait, I almost forgot my chainsaw. Who does that?
Yeah, that's true, too, man. You got to really have intent at that point to do it. Yeah, that's fair. All right. Florida man story number two. Florida man was arrested after he allegedly left a child alone and scared in a haunted house on Halloween last week. This guy named Charles was at a haunted house in Merritt Island on Thursday, the West Coast, Florida, with a little girl where he allegedly abandoned her inside the house. Someone inside the house found the girl. She was scared, and it was actually the guy's daughter. And Brevard County deputies say actually East Coast, Florida. So my bad. Man is accused of leaving the child for more than 2 hours and no reasonable effort to provide care for her. Bad job, I would say here, Joe. Haunted house, just leaving your kid.
5-year-old, you leave the kid in a haunted house for 2 hours. Yeah, that kid's not going to need therapy. This is great. This is another guy who should go to jail. I don't understand.
Oh, he's going to jail. Yeah, he's going to jail.
Yeah. Now, this is, I would say, way more than 3 months here. Let's get a sentence here. This is fun. We're turning into Judge Judy here. This is a really good time.
I would say
got to be twice as much as the fish.
10 months.
Okay. I'll agree. I'll agree with the 10. Just because I don't want the kid to be without the father either. It's someone. Yeah, but maybe I do want the kid to be without the father.
Yeah, you know, the kid is probably going to be upset losing the father. Yeah, you may be right. I'll go 5 months.
Yeah, I'll go six. 6 months. Everybody gets a breather from everybody. Why don't you leave him in the... You know what? He ain't seen nothing about left in the haunted house.
It could be in the next Saw movie, right?
Yeah, well, what do he's left in Gen Pop for a couple nights by himself. Let's see how that works.
Movies, the Saw movies?
I saw the first one. I saw the first one. I'm not a scary movie guy.
Yeah, neither am I. I watched the first three, I think.
What movie scares the hell out of me? Anything where people get abandoned in like the woods kind of thing, like that Wrong Turn movie. That scared the hell out of me. There's like these inbred brothers in West Virginia, and they climb up trees, and they're hunting these young kids down. That movie scared the hell out of me because as a stupid city boy, I don't like the idea of being abandoned in the middle of the woods in West Virginia. That scares me. That's terrifying. I get it. I don't understand the horror movie fascination for me personally.
I don't either. But I don't watch them. But I can understand. Look, people like to be scared.
What's the scariest movie you ever saw?
As a kid, I remember seeing Poltergeist being scary. I know it wasn't scary now, and looking back on it as an adult, it wasn't that scary. But I remember at the time thinking, "Wow, this is scary."
I saw The Exorcist when they re-released it. Mm-hmm. And that movie freaked me out. I'll be honest with you. I saw it when they put it in the theaters again, when they had like whatever anniversary. I was like, yeah, you know, I've never seen this. I want to go see it in the big screen. And boy, that was a mistake. A terrifying movie. And I thought that was very scary. And I thought that I had never seen The Shining till a couple years ago. And I watched The Shining by myself one night. And that was not a good idea. That's creepy. That's a creepy film.
All right, Florida man story number three. A man is facing charges, according to reports here in Florida, for allegedly picking up a chihuahua in a metal cage and throwing it at a family member during a fight last week. This guy was said to have threatened to harm his cousin during the argument in St. Pete. He threw the cage with a one-year-old chihuahua named Roscoe. The Tampa Bay Times reported Johnson now faces a misdemeanor battery charge and admitted to the crime after officers questioned him. He has this guy also has a dozen convictions for minor crimes, including trespassing, theft, fleeing and eluding a police officer. He was released Wednesday, ordered not to return to the home that he shared with the cousin. So another new one there, Joe. Throwing a chihuahua. That's a new one.
Well, it's throwing the box with the chihuahua in it, which is really, you know, it's one thing to pick up the chihuahua and throw the chihuahua. That's not going to do much damage. The chihuahua in the box, that's going to do a little bit more damage. The boxes can be a little heavy, I guess. But I've fought with a lot of weapons. I've been trained in over a dozen different weapons. And I can tell you a chihuahua in a box was not one of them. No. Surprisingly enough.
Any jail time for this guy, given his past history? I don't think so.
Probably not. I don't know.
Chihuahua's okay, right?
Well, because I think we've all been so mad that we just like so mad you want to like pick up whatever's next to you and throw it. And, you know, if it happens to be a chihuahua in a box, it's just a bad look. You know, you got to stop and put it down. But, you know, like you see like someone, it seems like the worst telenovela story ever. You know, like, you know, those telenovelas where, you know, like they get really mad. Yeah. And they pick up the glass and they throw it at somebody. But instead, he's like, I do this mio. And he grabs it. He looks around and he grabs the chihuahua in the box and throws it. This is like the worst possible Univision telenovela ever.
Yeah, this is definitely a new one for me. Chihuahua. Okay, our final one, a Florida man who had multiple visits from law enforcement on Friday after several complaints got into a standoff third time around. And this time it ended with this guy wielding a foot-long sword, attacking a deputy who fired a gun in his defense. This was after four beanbags and three tasers were fired at him, and they were ineffective. This actually is according to the Miami Herald locally here. The guy had a knife, made threats to hurt someone over the phone. He took off running. He reemerged then with a small hatchet, took off running again. They tried to calm him down. They called in SWAT. They couldn't stop him. And inevitably, he asked to be shot. So they did. They shot him. It didn't work. The tasers.
It didn't work.
No, but unfortunately, he was taken to the medical center where he did die on Saturday. He wanted basically to commit suicide. So it's a very sad story. But this guy was just crazy.
Yeah, he was. And you said he had the sword was in there. So he had a foot long. It was a broadsword, obviously, he had there. And this is funny. This is the second sword story we've done in about a month. Yeah. I mean, a foot long, the foot is not very, that's what I'm saying.
Not long?
No. I mean, like a broadsword's probably about 3 feet or at least, you know, somewhere in that range. A foot long, if you think about it, that's more like a short sword. So that's not very impressive in terms of size. It's more like a big dagger kind of thing. One could also even call it a knife, depending on the style of it. Mm-hmm. Not to get all semantic here, but I will.
Education.
It's fun. Educational for the kids out there. For the kids learning. And by the way, if you want to learn a lot about swords, History Channel has a great show called Forged in Fire, which is a sword making competition there with blacksmiths. Fascinating. Basically, it's Chopped, but for swords, for blacksmiths. Amazing program. And then they test the weapons on like ballistics dummies and all kinds of other things and put them through tests, which is fantastic to watch. It's amazing to watch the craftsmanship, but it's nice to see swords making a comeback because I would say this, guns, anybody can do a gun, a sword that takes skill. It takes skill to kill a man with a sword. So it's nice to see Florida at least moving in the right direction when it comes to their choice of weapons. So I commend them for that. But yeah, it's kind of a sad bummer of a story. Way to end the first hour on a down note.
All right. You know, I'll give you even a bigger bummer, too, as we end. Did you see the Popeye's chicken story yesterday?
I just saw it this morning when I was giving the kids breakfast.
Somebody killed over a Popeye's chicken sandwich? I mean,
do we know the reasoning behind it? Like,
they're, as they would say on TV, details are sketchy right now.
Was it an argument over whether or not it was the best sandwich or was it the last one? I think,
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
You better give me that sandwich, Craig.
Unbelievable. You thought that the Christmas toy holiday season was bad. Popeye's chicken is...
forget the Cabbage Patch curries, man. It's all about the... I'll tell you what. I mean, I drive by the Popeye's all the time. I don't see any lines out. I mean, I live in the burbs, so I'm ready. I want to do this Popeye's thing, man.
We'll do it. We'll do it. I have to set myself up to do it, though. I'm not a big fast food guy.
So I know. Well, that's fine. You set yourself up to do it. Yeah, we don't have the guillotine league to talk about anymore, so now we have to pivot here.
We really don't have that. I got chopped. All right, coming up next, it's time for the best of the first hour of the show. Mike Alexander is also going to join us in the second hour. We're going to talk about the Razz Bowl. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mitchell, Pizzapia, by the way.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change, like...
So this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed. Remember, this is a What Have You Done For Me Lately show. This is a What Have You Done For Me Lately world. And in this world we live in, Joe, if Lamar Jackson this week throws five picks, he's going to go from 3-1 to 10-1. I mean, that's what betting is. It's the stock market, and you're basically buying high right now on Lamar Jackson when you could have bought low a week or two ago. Wilson hasn't really moved anywhere, but Rodgers is the one that's moved back. If Rodgers, Joe, has a great game, he's going to move back up, and he's going to be 3-1. But that's kind of the way that this is working right now. And Watson, by the way, maybe we should be talking about a little bit more. 5-1 tells you he's got a real shot.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I still think, as I said, I'm going to stick with this. The whole Cam Newton not playing, Kyle Allen playing. Carolina rips off some W's here, and I've looked at their schedule. I think they can. CMC is going to be in this conversation because if Russell Wilson does not play well in either of those 49er games, I think that really hurts his bid there. I really do, because I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo all of a sudden is going to emerge from that 49ers group as like an MVP candidate. I think everybody realizes it's the defense over there, and he's played better, but it's still the defense. And Jackson's got two more tough games on that schedule, too, ahead of him. Possibly three, if the Rams actually show up and play. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. It's funny, because I'm trying to remember, you know, historically speaking, most of the time with the NFL MVP, you kind of have a pretty good gauge. You know, it's like the Peyton Manning year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the Brady year. It's the Mahomes year. It's the Rodgers year. This year is so wide open that I think it's worth taking a shot on McCaffrey. I really do.
At CarMax, we're pretty flexible with how you can buy a car. If you'd rather scroll through 50,000 cars instead of walking the lot, go for it. If you want to see how a car smells on the lot before you buy it, by all means. Hey, we all have our things. Want the whole thing to come to you without ever leaving home? Buy online. Compare how the speakers sound when playing your favorite mix? Yep, visit our lot. And if you want to browse a little on the lot and in select markets have it delivered at home, we're certainly not stopping you. CarMax, the way it should be.
Are you a Henry? It stands for High Earner, Not Rich Yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.